It is Thursday, June 11th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
Excuse the voice, folks. Apologies. But hundreds of former federal prosecutors called for an investigation into Attorney General Bill Barr, and Trump plans a rally in Tulsa to gloat over the bodies of those killed by white supremacists. Meanwhile, Joe Biden says he wants to give more money to the police. The man is on a mission to prove there's no problem that can't be solved with small business tax credits. Lastly, Black Lives Matter wins massively in new public opinion polls. Anybody still crying over some fallen statues is deeply out of touch with the rest of the country.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
So much for law and order. Donald Trump's campaign for permanent Republican Party rule keeps hitting one snag after another. Even the feds are getting, fed up. Yesterday, more than 1,200 former Justice Department workers demanded an investigation of Attorney General Bill Barr, Trump's authoritarian enabler. According to the Washington Post, the dissenters sent a letter to DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz. They expressed deep concern about Barr's role in ordering a violent assault on peaceful protesters last week in Lafayette Square near the White House. The signatories are career prosecutors, managers, and lawyers from both parties. Separately, former federal judge John Gleason, who was appointed to oversee the case against disgraced Pentagon intelligence chief Michael Flynn, filed court papers calling out Trump and the DOJ for brazen corruption. Flynn had already admitted lying to the FBI over his contacts with foreign powers, but Trump and Barr came to his rescue. Gleason called the case against Flynn straightforward and said his attempted exoneration was a gross abuse of prosecutorial power. Barr recently boasted that history was written by the winners. I wonder if he feels so confident about winning now. Trump yesterday held another photo op, this time with black supporters who praised him up and down. He said that under no circumstances would he rename U.S. military bases dedicated to the Confederacy. His campaign also announced its next big event. On June 19th, Trump will hold a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The timing and location are provocative. 99 years ago this month, Tulsa was the location of one of the worst racially motivated massacres in U.S. history. And next Friday will be Juneteenth, the annual holiday commemorating black emancipation. Also yesterday, George Floyd's brother testified before the House Judiciary Committee. Philoness Floyd said, quote, "They lynched my brother. He didn't deserve to die over $20. Make it stop." The Minneapolis Police Department, whose officers killed George Floyd, said it was ending contract negotiations with the city. Local officials want to start from scratch, but leaders in neighboring St. Paul are reportedly not on board. In Louisville, Kentucky, police finally released an autopsy report for Breonna Taylor, shot by cops in her home 3 months ago. The four-page report was mostly blank. Said she sustained no injuries, though she was shot at least 8 times. All 3 officers involved remain on the job. In San Francisco, police told the Transit Authority to, quote, "lose our number" after the agency said it would no longer ferry cops to protests. In New York, conditions in jails where protesters have been sent are reportedly abysmal, with people denied water and masks to protect from coronavirus. And in Arizona, migrants in federal custody were ordered to clean a private prison where COVID-19 is spread out of control. Inmates are pleading for protective gear and fear for their lives. There you go. That's what law and order means in America today. With nearly 3,000 protests growing around the world, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, Joe Biden, yesterday made his most extensive statement on police brutality. It was not what protesters hoped to hear. It was, however, perfectly in line with Biden's message that nothing will fundamentally change if he wins the White House. In a column for U.S. Today, Biden called for an extra $300 million in federal funding to, quote, "reinvigorate community policing in our country. Every single police department should have the money it needs to institute real reforms," end quote. Got that? With at least 10,000 Americans arrested over the past 2 weeks for exercising their First Amendment rights, and many times that number still out on the streets chanting, "defund the police," Biden wants to throw more money at the cops. He advocated several other no-brainer reforms, such as banning chokeholds and a national use of force standard. But the protests have raised the bar for policy proposals, and Biden came up short. He even worked in a mention of tax credits for small businesses. Also in election news, the Associated Press called the Georgia Democratic primary for U.S. Senate in favor of John Ossoff. Yesterday's vote was marked by absurdly long lines, machine malfunctions, missing poll workers, and other forms of voter suppression. If the AP's call proves accurate, Ossoff, a former journalist, will challenge first-term Republican Senator David Perdue in November. Even Perdue called yesterday's election a meltdown. But he and his fellow Republicans have their own reasons for casting doubt on the results. If people think their votes don't count, they won't bother. Georgia was, of course, the only latest state to go sideways on Election Day. Per NBC News, experts are warning that Americans won't know who won the presidency on election night come November. Michigan and Pennsylvania in particular are expected to have problems with a big wave of mail-in ballots. The delays, NBC warned, could be used to undermine confidence in the outcome. And I think we can guess who might take advantage of that.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
Amid all this apparent chaos, there is plenty of hopeful news to be found. Polls show a dramatic shift in public opinion in favor of Black Lives Matter protesters and away from the institutions of racial policing. Online opinion research cited by the New York Times shows Americans favor the protesters by a 28-point margin. Just a couple of weeks ago, that margin was only 17%. Other polling sources show declining trust in the police and increased understanding of the discrimination faced by African Americans. The Times concluded that Trump's inflammatory tweets on the issue may, in fact, be counterproductive. This rapid shift in opinion may be permanent because it jibes with long-term trends. Monuments to racism and oppression continued to fall. Protesters in St. Paul, Minnesota, pulled down a statue of Christopher Columbus. Afterward, members of the American Indian Movement chanted and drummed in victory over the statue. In Virginia yesterday, a self-professed member of the Ku Klux Klan was arrested after driving through a crowd of protesters on Sunday. In Richmond last night, protesters took down a statue of Confederate President Jefferson Davis. 80 miles away in Portsmouth, four Confederate statues were beheaded and then toppled. Finally, in Washington, D.C., Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is making himself useful again. In a floor speech, Sanders called on Congress to ban the use of tear gas, rubber bullets, and pepper spray on protesters.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
21 states are reportedly seeing increases in coronavirus infections, but reopening continues. At least 2 million cases have been recorded in the U.S., with more than 112,000 dead. Even in deep blue California, politicians are at odds with health officials over the pace of reopening. Governor Gavin Newsom said the state will force workers to risk exposure, quote, in a responsible way. Police in Sweden closed the case on assassination of Prime Minister Olof Palme. The left-wing and anti-apartheid icon was shot back in 1986, but the culprit was never caught. Most independent investigators place blame on a wider right-wing conspiracy. Prosecutors concluded that an ex-military far-right extremist, Stig Engström, killed Palme, but fans of the anomalous Stig Larsson, who was obsessed with the case, may never be satisfied. A Mayan spirit guide was kidnapped, tortured, and murdered in Guatemala over the weekend. Villagers reportedly accused him of witchcraft, set him on fire, and then posted videos of the killing online. The murdered Mayan herbalist, Domingo Chokche, was working with international researchers to develop new cures based on traditional medicines. The Federal Reserve predicts 15 million people will still be unemployed through the end of this year, with high jobless rates for years to come. This was the takeaway in a news conference yesterday by Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. Separately, a former Macy's executive told CNBC he expects one-third of America's shopping malls to close for good this year. Maybe we can tear up the parking lots and plant trees.
Quicker! Quickie!
That's all for the AM Quickie. Again, apologies for the voice. Stay safe.
Thank you, Sam. Don't forget to check out the Majority Report today at noon, wherever your podcasts are found.